You're going to hear from the Gospel of Matthew, the 14th chapter, and I invite you to follow along on the back page of your bulletin. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because of the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And then Peter got out and down and out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of God for us, the people of God today. Thanks be to God. The disciples were alone. Jesus had gone to the mountain to pray. The disciples were out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee when a storm whipped up. The waves were tossing them every which way, and I can imagine they were hanging on to the sides of the boat, the wind whistling with the water splashing, that wild, briny smell of the salt sea soaking their skin and their hair. It was very, very dark, the middle of the night, the fourth watch. The disciples were terrifically tired. They'd been traveling with Jesus. They had been out teaching and feeding the crowds. And they were worn out. And instead of rest, they got a storm. Between the dark of night, the ceaseless motion of the waves, and their fatigue, the disciples were disoriented and confused. And they ask, "Is that a ghost coming toward us?" Does this experience sound familiar to any of us? We have just enough faith to want to teach and to feed the crowds. But then when our lives feel a little stormy and darkness falls, when we are caught in the midst of concerns about our health, our children, our intimate relationships, our finances, when we are challenged by our jobs or lack of jobs, upset by the constancy of trials, you know the drill. First it's the refrigerator that goes out, and then the car breaks down, right? Maybe we suffer from interminable boredom. Perhaps we are even dissatisfied with our own interior spiritual questions. And so we wonder where or if God is in our midst. Could it be that God is off on a mountaintop somewhere watching us perish? Notice Jesus' words as he walked on the water toward the disciples. "It is I," he said. Jesus wanted to be clear about one thing. Now listen up. God is being revealed here. How many times in Scripture does God reveal God's self, saying, "I am, it's I am he who is speaking to you"? Let's be clear here. It is God walking on that water. Don't forget that oftentimes in Scripture, the power of the Holy Spirit is illuminated by the wind, right? God's out there on that stormy water in the fullness of his divinity, displaying the unlikely by walking on the water, going beyond the human experience, and inviting the disciples to share in the whole of it. Jesus simply said to Peter, "Come." This morning, we're going to consider how we can grow deeper in relationship with God when Jesus invites us, come into the darkness, come into the storm, come into the raging waters. When Peter started looking around him and he began noticing that the waves and the wind and the storm were all around him, he begins to sink and he panics. But listen to what Peter's first response was as he watches these waves overtake him. His first response is to say, "Save me, I'm sinking." Peter surrendered not only his strength, not only did he surrender his desire to come to Jesus, but Peter also gave over his weakness, his fear of the storm, his confusion and his disorientation to the darkness. "Save me, I'm sinking," is what conversion of life is all about. "Save me, I'm sinking," means that reaching toward Jesus is the only answer for our lives. Reaching out in the midst of failure, in the midst of confusion, reaching when we're not even sure what we're reaching for. Is it a ghost? Oftentimes, Peter is accused for failing to have faith in Jesus. So he begins to sink. But John Ortberg, in his book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Need to Get Out of the Boat. That's the title of the book. If you want to walk on water, you need to get out of the boat. He says that it was the 11 disciples in the boat, the 11 disciples who were clinging to their own fear, the 11 with the tarps pulled tightly over their heads, the 11 who were shivering in cold in the dark of the night. It was the 11 who did not surrender a thing. Those were the ones who need to take responsibility for failing, not Peter. To become a new creation in Christ is to be reconciled, to respond no matter what, even in the dark storms, to have faith and peace and assurance that God is with us no matter what our circumstances are. How many of you have tarps that are pulled tightly over your heads, living in darkness, living in the midst of the storm? And this morning, I invite each one of us to take account of the difficulty in our lives, whatever challenges we face. I have printed some questions here in the bulletin on page 4, and for our internet listeners, those questions are listed on our website. So let's begin with question 1. In light of whatever difficulty you may be dealing with, are you deeply in love with God? Deeply in love, responding to God in such a way that you're able to do more than is humanly possible? How is God at work in your life? What are the 3 things that you are thankful to God for? Things that you know could only have come through God, not through any effort of your own. God offers us a very fulfilled life. We are to live full and blessed lives, every aspect of our lives, work and play, body and soul, every aspect of our lives, God cares about. So you can look over the rest of these questions, take them home for your consideration to help you assess your focus on God in your current circumstances. Conversion of life happens when we admit our need for God, when we ask God to save us. Now, not all conversion experiences are as dramatic as this scene of Peter walking on the water. Conversion experiences may come about by that little nudging voice pushing us to take a step in faith, pushing us to go beyond what we normally would do, pushing us to do something that's something beyond any possibility that we think we ourselves can accomplish. St. Francis began his Christian journey of faith. He began simply by going out every day and giving alms. He was a very, very wealthy, affluent family that he grew up in. So he would go out every day and give alms to the poor that were lining the roads in Assisi. One day, he dismounted his horse. He was giving alms to the poor, and he began to feel repulsed by the proximity of a leper who was standing near him. But he remembered his desire for discipleship. He remembered that he wanted to follow Christ more than anything in the world. And he stepped over and kissed the leper. St. Francis counted that one small step, that one experience, as a significant turning point in his ability to follow Christ. God moved him to do more than he thought possible. So while conversion doesn't need to be dramatic, we also have to take conversion of life as not too slowly either, right? It's kind of like the robber who explained to the police had just arrested him for a robbery, and he told them that he had recently been converted by Billy Graham, and so he had not used a weapon in the holdup. Well, God doesn't want just parts of us to be faithful. God wants all of us to be faithful. He wants our whole lives to be faithful, every part of our lives. Conversion of life happens as we recognize that God reaches in to find us where we are. And often we're in the depths of something that we don't even understand. And God reaches out a hand for us to take. You think walking on water is cool? God can move any one of us to act beyond our human ability. If we fail at giving our whole selves to God, we must try again. And I think if we take some of the stories and scriptures, we'll know that God's going to accomplish it anyway, right? Remember Jonah? Jonah wanted to go in a different direction, and God certainly saw to it that that wasn't going to happen. So if we fail at giving our whole selves to God, we get like Peter. Peter got out of the boat, and he was totally focused on Jesus at first, and he began walking toward him on the water. But when he began to sink, remember, it was Jesus. God reached out to take his hand. Yes, even our surrender requires God's help. God wants all of us, not just our gifts and talents. God will take our failures too. Our sin and failure, surrendered to God, in God's hands, becomes something else entirely. Being Christian, being faithful, responding when Jesus says, come, may not be real clear for us. And yet, as disoriented as some of us feel, there is a sense that we are invited to do some things we don't usually do. Like the disciples in that boat, perhaps we hear Jesus' call, and maybe we even perceive that we are on the edge of a miracle. As we grow deeper in our relationship with God, something begins to change in our lives. Something more is surrendered. Conversion of life happens each time we surrender, each time we become a little bit more aware of God's presence in our lives, each time we become a little bit more clear about how God is at work saving us. Now, there's one last thing that I want you to think about here from this story that we have read today. It was Jesus who insisted that the disciples, tired and weary as they were, it was Jesus that insisted they leave the safety of the shore and go out in the boat. It was Jesus that put the disciples out in that boat in the dark of the night before he went off to the mountain alone to pray. So there you have it. This is not some situation in which a human disappointed the disciples. This was God. God may direct us into a storm. God sent God's own son to a difficult place. Look at the prophets before Jesus who were sent straight into difficult places. Here's what we need to be careful about. The 11 disciples in the boat got caught up in the fear of their situation and missed out on the gifts of God's presence. How many times do we suppose that we are seeing something only later to realize that it really was Jesus? That it really was God at work offering us something. We get caught up in the fear and the stress of the situation, and we miss that gift of God's presence. We become so terrified and stressed and unable to hear that we don't hear Jesus say, "Take heart, do not be afraid." Jesus asked the disciples to follow him, and his pathway to peace is not without hardship along the way. When Peter calls out, "Save me, I'm sinking," Jesus reaches out his arm and saves him. The miracle in this story is not that Peter walked on water. I think the miracle is that Peter takes Jesus' outstretched hand and is saved. Peter cried out, and God saved him. How many times do we read this over and over again in Scripture of those people who called out and God saved him? In the Hebrew Bible, the Hebrew slaves didn't even know God's name yet, and God heard their cries in Egypt and sent Moses. Moses reached his hand out over the Red Sea, and the sea parted, and they were delivered through those waters. The faithful were also released from bondage when the walls of Jericho were circled 7 times. Now, how crazy is that, right? How many people would understand those directions? The prophets did what God commanded, even when they had questions, even when they were uncertain. So you see, God saves us, even while we are confused, as we surrender to outstretched arms. In the stories of Jesus, in the New Testament, Jesus saved many by reaching out a hand to one in need. Simon's mother-in-law was the first one he saved that way. In Mark's gospel, Jesus reached out. She was laying in bed with a fever, and Jesus reached out, and he took her hand, and she got up out of bed. The fever was gone, and she began serving him. Jairus' daughter, the temple official, Jairus' daughter, 12-year-old, she was saved from death when Jesus reached out and took her hand, saying, "Talitha, come," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And Jesus' final act of reaching out, his arms on the cross, ultimately saves us all. Ultimately, God saves us through the outstretched arms of Christ, saves us through the cross. God surrenders. God surrenders, and it is intentional, the result of the free and unencumbered use of God's will. It is a free choice, and it is a responsible act given to take away our fear and our guilt and our failure, to take away the sins of the world. So God in Christ offers new life for the world through outstretched arms. God calls us to follow him. Think about those who are surrendering to the storms of life. Think of those things that you have surrendered to, in your families, with your friends, your workplaces, things that you've surrendered to in the surrounding culture of our day. Well, God wants us to surrender to. God wants us to surrender to his influence. And when we do this, we don't lose, we win. Like the disciples, Peter, James, and John, we're not on the shore any longer. We, the Church of Christ, are in deep water. And if we look about us, we are bound to see wind and waves. Isn't following Jesus kind of confusing? Have we surrendered to God yet? Have we accepted our limitations, recognized our weaknesses, our inability to pull ourselves and those near to us out of the stormy waters? Or are we still in charge, taking control and trying to create something of our own doing? Just like Peter, who recognized that he was sinking, when we recognize our humanness, we too come face to face with Jesus, and we too can reach for God. God in Christ clears the way through wind and through waves and offers us a miracle. The miracle is our surrender. Holy and gracious God, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is constantly reaching out for us for our sakes. We love it when we can offer you our gifts. We love it when we can offer you our talents. But Lord God, help us also lift up and surrender to you those weaknesses and failures in our lives. Transform them. Convert our lives so that we can be fully yours in body, mind, and soul. In and through the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.